I'm very upsetting and difficult presentation. That I appreciate as a progressive Jew who has for many, many, many years supported a single state solution, but never been able to justify it to family, to community, to progressive people in many other ways who it's useful, and but I have to, but it was just hard to hear, and I hope I can take some, a lot of it with me, but I'm also left with some, a few other things. One is there's a huge distinction between a correct political position and a solution. What I'm hearing tonight are correct political positions, many of which I think I've had more or less educated for a long, long time. I remember, and it seems to me, and you said this, that, you know, I think it was Che Guevara who said that what we can do, when asked how Americans could help the Cuban Revolution, he said to the students, you who are in the belly of the beast, go home and do your work there. So, you know, for us, living in the center of world imperialism, living in the place that makes it possible not only for these horrendous things that you're talking about to happen in the Middle East, but to happen in Oakland and to happen all over the world, that they're happening here. And I'm something of a veteran of a communist movement in the United States and a peace movement and a left that, as far as I'm concerned, pretty much doesn't exist any longer, or that, and not only doesn't exist, but in my experience, is self-destructed through what I observed as 20 years of infighting and criticism and splitting, and put two socialists in a room and they'll create two organizations. The betrayal of communism in the Soviet Union, in China, in Yugoslavia, and everywhere, and every experiment anywhere. And I'm left with the reality that feudalism was eventually replaced by capitalism. I have no doubt that the world will eventually live in some sort of a socialist existence, but that took thousands of years. And I don't know how long this is going to take, but in the meantime, you know, the only thing I'm left with right now, to tell you the truth, is thinking that I'm watching this country actually become fascist. And the first step that I can see for myself is to help what's going on in Palestine is to first get the fascists out of office in the United States so that we can continue to have meetings like this without actually being arrested, because I'm worried about that now. And then, secondly, or maybe simultaneously, to start building a movement, or rebuilding a movement, or recreating a movement. But I don't know where to start when I go to peace demonstrations like the ones in San Francisco, where there were thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and I see that there's booths with 60, 70 different organizations, each seemingly satisfied to have its own little, you know, political line and its own newspaper and its own 100 or 50 or 30 members. I'm just, you know, I'm kind of lost. Thank you.
I just wanted to say, in listening to you, that in some ways, support of people on the left for the Democratic Party as what you might say feasible interim is very similar to the support that was given for a two-state solution, which I think is pretty obvious is definitely not a solution. Instead of struggle that was based by the Palestinian people and with the solidarity from people such as yourself here in the United States, that would have been appropriate to an actual struggle that could lead to a real solution, which can only be one that it is based on just principles. I'll let Ralph answer from there. because all the people for years, and it's since 1985, I have to tell you, that the discussions were going on among the Palestinians and with us among people in the Palestinian solidarity movement here in the United States. Because already in 1985, we were saying that you cannot have a two-state solution, and they were forcing the Palestinian PLO movement into that, which eventually happened in 91 with the Madrid Conference and giving up the democratic secular position in the PLO charter. And everyone was saying, well, you need something that's feasible and on the ground. And what you see today is the total dispossession. You could have predicted it, and it was predicted in 85 and before. All these years that all of you, maybe some of you, were saying, well, we're working for something that's feasible and something that's realistic. And Ralph likes to quote C. Wright Mills and his notion of crackpot realism. A struggle is based upon your aspirations and your goals, and it will take off from there. At the time of the first Intifada, there was such a reaction throughout the Arab world that in Algeria, they had their own Intifada when the price of bread went up, and it took an enormous reaction on the part of the Algerian government to suppress the mass movement that emerged. The movement of the children with their stones at the time of the first Intifada inspired people throughout the world. And it was immediately upon that that you heard throughout the so-called progressive movement, instead of supporting that self-activation of the Palestinian movement and their true goals, people started saying, no, we've got to have two states. We've got to have security for the Zionist state.
The question of the distinction between a correct program, as it were, and a solution. You cannot move forward if you embrace the oppressor state. And the most elementary understanding of every Palestinian is that the liquidation of the Palestinian struggle begins with embracing the legitimacy of a colonial settler state in Palestine. You know, you can't make revolution like Nescafe. It's a process. But 100 years of struggle cannot be fulfilled by capitulation to the legitimacy of a state apparatus whose predicate is the liquidation of the subject population. The only role that the PLO, this national bourgeois leadership, was casting for itself was to be the local interlocutor for imperialism, to play the role of the Abdullahs in Jordan and of the Mubaraks in Egypt for Palestine. And that's why the so-called two-state solution is not a solution of a state, but enlisting a sellout Palestinian leadership to assume the role of policemen of the Palestinian people. There's nothing practical about that. It represents a liquidation, a decomposition, if you like, of the role of these people in relation to their own struggle. I'm speaking of this national bourgeois leadership that embraces such formulae.